Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to what's been a sort of exciting day for Red Bull and Formula One, even if it was probably the longest launch build-up we've had in history. I'm John Noble, F1 editor of motorsport.com, and I'm joined by Autosport's F1 editor, Matt Kew. We've got a lot to discuss today, with Red Bull having held its 23-season launch in New York, and also announcing one of F1's most recent worst-kept secrets with a new partnership with Ford. So, let's going back over the last, I think it's been nearly an hour or so. Matt, what did you make of that launch?
Long, like you say, John. The last year's launch, we were so excited to see the new cars, and that seemed to really drag on. And then Red Bull gave us more of that, really, but only in New York City, so there's a bit more hype around it. But, you know, we heard from the skateboarders and the skiers, and lots of interference from the microphone touching on a presenter's earring, which is some of those things that can't be helped. But it did drag on before we got an awful lot of insight. We saw several Red Bull Formula One cars. We saw the one we thought we were waiting for, but when that arrived, it wasn't the one we were waiting for either. So can I be really snobbish and say, for the wider audience, perhaps launching it in New York City, it did the job and sort of introduces the brand a bit more. But you know, you had the scrolling comments at the side of the feed, and I think we were sort of in that camp, John, just by sort of clock watching a little bit before anything actually happened. But you know, modern Formula One, more is more, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, having an F1 car launch in New York, if you go back 5 years, 10 years, it would have been pretty unheard of. You probably have had two people turning up, and one of those would have been a policeman giving them a parking ticket, probably. So I think the fact it's working like that, I think it's great for Formula One. The team called it a season launch. They claimed it was the RB19, but when you look in the details of the car, the changes look minimal. And I think one of the big giveaways this year is the rear view mirrors. We've got bigger mirrors this year. So any team that rolls out its 22 car, it's an instant giveaway. It's got a new livery, though. Do you like the livery? And are you disappointed we've got to wait a little bit more to see the car?
I'm always disappointed that we've got to wait, you know, see the finer technical details, but that's par for the course now, whether it's, you know, Red Bull not turning up with those really sort of cut out side pods until Barcelona testing, or Mercedes last year not doing their full concept till Bahrain. I know we don't have the two tests this year, but you're used to waiting. And I don't care what anyone says. I know you've had the camo liveries before, but the whole point of Red Bull being an F1 is to boost the brand of the energy drinks company. So I wasn't expecting a fluorescent green livery with, you know, a boldly dramatic design. We will get that because they've announced that there'll be three sort of fan liveries, but obviously it's all about pushing the advertisement. You have that by consistency. Okay, they've gone from like white to yellow outlines in the past and a matte paint, but you sort of knew what you're getting with Red Bull. And anyone who's sort of disappointed that it's not, you know, a wildly different scheme, I guess, you know, politely are probably kidding themselves. We always sort of nuts and bolts knew what we're going to be still, you know. As we'll come on to, it's a poorly kept secret, but we knew we were going to get the Honda logo and all the sponsors. So I suppose it's a good thing that it has a consistency and a bit of recognition, even if it's nothing sort of dramatic.
When they roll out in Bahrain for the first test, the car's going to look very different. And yeah. I reckon even for the first race, there'll be a few secrets because Adrian Newey never disappoints. Red Bull's one of the most aggressive when it comes to aero development. And I think we knew when the launch was going to be one of the first, you knew it wasn't going to be the brand new car, because I can't imagine Chris and Horner going to the aero department saying, yeah, we'll have 3 weeks to launch the car and scrap all that development time. So not really unexpected. But the team's coming off the back of a pretty dominant season. Reliability cost it at the start of the season. It was a heavy car. They took the weight off and they were in pretty much in a class of their own until Mercedes got its act together towards the end of the year. But also a winter of a bit of punishment for the cost cap penalty, the less aero development time. What do you think they're going to be this year? Are Mercedes the dark horse, or have Red Bull got enough in hand, do you think, to keep at the front?
I'm going to be an optimist for the good of the championship and say that we will have more of a battle. But if you look at where the teams are coming from, Red Bull 17 race wins, they're on such a pedestal. To fall off that would be so dramatic. And then you've got, from the other way around, Mercedes have such a step to climb. Interesting that I think both of us jump into conclusions that Ferrari will be in the mix, but it's more likely Mercedes that will be the main challenger there. I know that Toto Wolff has gone with the narrative of playing down expectations for this season, and that tallies with last season when everyone thought Mercedes were playing it down, and then they actually were, really not where we thought they'd be or massively behind the curve. I expect this to sort of revert to pre 2022 spec Mercedes, where they're playing down their chances a little bit more. Things are heading out that, that they're pleased by the simulator numbers and feel that, despite the end of last season, there were peaks and troughs in performance, still the inconsistency, still the bouncing in Abu Dhabi. I think there will be a marked step forward to bring that gap. And obviously, as you said, with the cost cap and Red Bull being punished for success with the sliding scale of the aerodynamic testing regs, there will be like a convergence, but they were so dominant. And well, Max Verstappen was so dominant, looking at a swing of like a second a lap in some case. And that's such a massive amount of time in the context of Formula One. But, everyone, even Red Bull fans surely want to have their Sunday afternoon spiced up a little bit by having a closer competition. That will make the wins more satisfying. So I'm going to go with that side and say, yes, it will be closer because losing that aero time is even for, Adrian Newey and Pierre Vacher, like it's such a great technical team. It's a massive, massive hit in a constricted window. So you have to think, for the validation of these new rules and that sliding scale, you have to think it will hurt Red Bull significantly and tangible for us as viewers, commentators, fans, whatever.
I mean, today wasn't just about the car launch. We also got confirmation that Ford's plan to tie up with Red Bull. The American car giant is becoming a partner in what's been known as Red Bull Ford Powertrains, supplying both Red Bull and AlphaTauri from 2026 to at least 2030. Work's going to start immediately, so Ford are going to get entrenched with Red Bull at their Milton Keynes factory, help develop the new engine, work on the internal combustion engine and the 350 kilowatt electric engine. They're also going to look at battery cell technology, software systems, so there's a lot of Red Bull assistance can be given going forwards, and as well as marketing and a big name back in Formula One. Manufacturers are always quite popular in Formula One. Matt, it's good news for Formula One, isn't it?
Yeah, massive news. It's such a turnaround that, one, it's Ford who have sort of, were almost laughed out of F1 after their last participation in the Jaguar guys. And not only is it Ford, but it's actual Ford, if you like, because last time it was, through the front of Jaguar. So, trying to market to Americans, like British saloons with lots of wood and lots of leather, whereas now it's proper Ford. And it's funny, I know it's a slight tangent, but I remember at the Goodwood Festival of Speed a few years ago, speaking to people from Volkswagen said, we want to market our cars and we're going to do it through lifestyle of people being on the beach and at a skate park and on a BMX, because that's how we're going to advertise it now as a lifestyle brand. So to actually have motorsport and the win on Sunday, sell on Monday adage being back at the forefront, yes, through Netflix, but also the sustainability drive and as a marketing platform. And we've just heard Jim Farley, the CEO and president of Ford, saying this is how we're marketing ourselves to a younger, new generation, is through, going around in circles and winning and dynamic motorsport. Okay, it keeps us in a job, but that's so good to hear as a validation of F1 and sort of such a turnaround and where it was. And obviously timing of the announcement, we've just had the FIA talk about the new engine manufacturers confirmed for 2026, so nailing on Audi. And although, you know, the time is running out, the fact that Porsche and Honda are floating around and Ford coming on as well, it's you know, Formula One is really, really good shape at the minute. And that's very, very pleasing.
Now, for readers of Autosport and Motorsport.com, you wrote a nice piece this morning about the Red Bull Ford deal, why Ford gave them what Porsche couldn't. Obviously, those talks collapsed last summer. What is your conclusion from it? What does Red Bull get out of this Ford deal that it wasn't getting from Porsche?
Without being too facetious, money and not much else, but that's exactly what they want. So there will be, like, you know, it's called a strategic and technical partnership on Red Bull powertrain specifically. So you can look at that. You know, Porsche wanted to buy half the race stream, so Red Bull Advanced Technologies. And that would have meant certain things. Obviously, you know, if you look at like the 919 hybrid project, yes, that was Porsche ran by Andreas Seidel. But if you speak to the people involved, they're like, it was our skunkworks car with a couple of Porsche stickers on it. And so that everyone could reap the success from that. And that's not what Porsche were coming to the table with this time. They wanted to be very heavily involved. So for Christian Horner, you've got to have your Stuttgart counterpart. And whether that means you've got, for your Helmut Marko, you've got to have your German counterpart or someone to just cancel out what Helmut Marko says, because, you know, that sometimes that can be outrageous or a bit sort of, it's not as corporate as Porsche would like it. And in principle, those wants are fine. But when Red Bull was at that point in time, you know, running away with both championships and such a successful formula that's worked so well, it's the only team since Mercedes to win in Formula One, you know, in the past decade, it was totally reasonable of Red Bull to go, we don't want to disrupt that. So thanks, but no thanks to Porsche. Ford, you know, they'll get their logos, and I'm sure you can expect a, what's the current car, a Ford Puma Red Bull MV 2025 edition, something like that. So they'll get the marketing from that, but they will be laissez-faire. They won't be too interventionist with Red Bull powertrains, which we know has already put the engine on the dyno. So if they can have the money and investment, which, you know, let's not beat around the bush, it's, you know, Red Bull co-founder Dietrich Mateschitz has died. They need to secure a long-term future, which wasn't necessarily in doubt without the Ford ownership, but it certainly secures it. So you've got that coming in, but it's hands off. You know, Jim Farley is not going to be micromanaging. This will not be a repeat of the Toyota flop where you've got the operation in the UK, but then Japan trying to manage it remotely and that massive clash of cultures. But, you know, Ford does have vast depths of resource, money, some, you know, some expertise in electric powertrains, whether that's from the road cars or from the World Rally Championship with the Puma. So where that is applicable, they will have an input, but, you know, Red Bull be allowed to do their own business and not be bankrolled fully, but having that investment assured up finances and, you know, in turn sending Daniel Ricciardo to do a show run in Michigan to support Ford. That's a really nice partnership and works well for both parties. And like I said in my piece, you know, it's not that Porsche's attitude to F1 was wrong by any means, but Porsche's attitude to working with Red Bull, that wasn't going to work, which is why they've gone their own separate ways. And you have to think that through the process of due diligence, it won't be the same with Red Bull and Ford.
That's a wrap from Red Bull. So if Haas and Red Bull having held their launch events, we've still got 8 to go. Next up's a new Williams livery launch on Monday, which should be interesting if the rumours are true, followed by Alfa Romeo's reveal of what's expected to be a new look car for 23 the day after. Here are the dates for these upcoming launches. We'll be covering them all on this channel. So don't forget to click the subscribe button if you haven't done so already.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.